March 1998. We'll deal with the five mental faculties. In the previous talks, I explained to you the purpose of Vipassana meditation is for liberation of a mind from mental defilements and all kinds of suffering. Then I briefly explain to you how the mind can be liberated from mental defilements. As a result, how one can be a great man in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha. As I explained to you, to liberate mind from all mental defilements, we have to develop mindfulness meditation in accordance with the discourse of Mahasatipatthana Sutra, expounded by the omniscient Buddha himself. As you know, there are four kinds of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha. The first one is mindfulness body. The second is mindfulness feeling or sensation. The third is mindfulness of consciousness. The fourth is mindfulness of phenomena. So the Buddha taught us these four kinds of mindfulness. We need not choose any mindfulness as our meditation, because the noting mind or the observing mind takes the most prominent object. So when physical phenomenon is arising prominently, then the mind takes it as its object and observes it as it is. When any kind of a feeling or sensation, either pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, is arising predominantly, then the mind takes the feeling as its object and observes it as it really occurs. When the consciousness is predominantly arising at that moment, then the mind takes the predominant consciousness as its object and observes it as it is. When any of a phenomenon, such as hindrances, aggregates, and fetters, or the truths arising predominantly, the mind takes any of these things as the object of meditation and observe it as it really occurs. So we cannot choose any object as our meditation. Whatever predominantly arises is the object of Vipassana meditation, insight meditation, and mindfulness meditation. So here I clarify this technique of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha in his discourse of Mahasatipatthana Sutra, so that some of a beginner or those who come late can understand the technique very well. Though the principle is to be mindful of whatever arises in our body and mind, either physical process or feeling or sensation or consciousness or any kind of phenomena. We are not able to observe any object which is predominant in the beginning of the practice. So the most venerable Mahasi Siyara, the late venerable Mahasi Siyara, teaches as a disciple to start with the rising movement and falling movement of the abdomen. because the movements of the abdomen is so to say ever present as long as a person is alive. So long as a person is alive, he has to breathe and then breathe out. When he breathes in, the abdominal expands or moves outward. When he breathes out, the abdomen is contracting and moves inward. But the movement of the abdomen depends on a meditator's physical composite. So sometimes some of a meditator find the movement, inward movement and outward movement. Some meditator find it, the movement as upward movement and downward movement. Occasionally some meditator find the movement as the moves round and round. But whatever it may be, meditator must observe the movement as it really occurs, either inward, outward movements or downward, upward movement. Whatever it may be, it must be observed, it must be noted as it really occurs. The movements here is a Vayodhatu air element. Vayodhatu air element is one of the four primary material element which must be thoroughly realized by a meditator. That's why we have to observe, we have to mindful of inward movements, outward movement, or upward movement, or downward movements of the abdomen. In the beginning of the practice, for some meditator, there may arise a difficulty to find the movements distinct. So he may make his breath quick or vigorous so that he can find movements very clearly and distinctly, but he must not do it so. Because if he do this, in a short time he becomes tired because vigorous and quick movements of the abdomen is unnatural. The movements of the abdomen must be natural, so the breathing it also must be natural. When a meditator observes the movement of the abdomen, how so soft it may be, or how faint it may be, if he observe it attentively enough, he finds some degree of movement. He observes it as much as possible. Later on, when his concentration becomes deeper, then he will be able to see the movement very clearly and distinctly. So the breathing must be normal, and the movement also should be normal. What you need is to have the five mental faculties ever strong, sharp, and kept in balance. What are the five mental faculties? The first one is Saddha, confidence in Triple Gems, Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. Especially in the technique of the meditation you are practicing now, that's the Dhamma. This is Saddha, confidence must be firm and strong enough. If a Saddha, confidence in the Buddha, his teaching, and the order of bhikkhus, Sangha, then meditator put forth enough effort in his practice. Without strong, firm confidence in the Triple Gems, meditator may not put forth enough effort in the practice. With a firm confidence, meditator put forth strenuous effort in the noting or the observing of phenomena. He watches or observes the object attentively, mental states, either mental states or physical process, attentively. If he puts forth enough effort in the practice, he is able to observe each object attentively enough. If any object is noted lightly and superficially, it's not useful. When any mental states or physical process is observed lightly and superficially, the mind goes out very often, wanders and thinks about something else. Meditator cannot concentrate well on the object. So meditator needs to have attentiveness, observing each object very attentively. To observe or to be mindful of attentively, he needs enough effort. That effort or energy is called virya in Pali. This effort is also one of the five mental faculties. When the mental effort or energy is enough, meditator can observe whatever arises, either mental states or physical process, attentively. He will be able to be mindful of whatever arises in his body and mind as it is. By being mindful of any mental states or physical process as it really occurs for the whole day without a break, then mindfulness becomes gradually continuous and constant and sustained. When the mindfulness becomes constant and continuous, it becomes powerful. Then the powerful mindfulness gives rise to deep concentration. This mindfulness is also one of the five mental faculties. This faculty is very much important. He is the source of realization or right understanding of phenomena. When the mindfulness becomes continuous and constant to some extent, then it gives rise to deep concentration. The concentration of mind is also one of the five mental faculties. Concentration of three types: upachara samadhi, access concentration; apana samadhi, absorption concentration; or jhana concentration; khanika samadhi, momentary concentration. By means of samatha meditation, meditator can attain either upachara samadhi, access concentration, or apana samadhi, absorption concentration, or both. But vipassana meditator is not able to attain both of these concentration, access and absorption concentration. Vipassana meditator, insight meditator, attains khanika samadhi, momentary concentration, because he doesn't take a single object of meditation. He takes many varieties of mental states and physical process as the object of meditation. So his mind stay with one object momentarily. When that object has disappeared, it takes another object and stay with it momentarily. Then another object, this object passed away, and then another object rises. Then it takes another object momentarily. In this way, the mind, the noting mind, the observing mind, is concentrated on any individual object for a moment. That's why it's called momentary concentration, khanika samadhi. But this khanika samadhi, momentary concentration, when it becomes continuous and constant, it has very powerful strength which can overcome hindrances and defilements. So the sub-commentary to Visuddhimagga said, khanika samadhi, momentary concentration, when it becomes constant and continuous, has the equal strength with upachara samadhi, excess concentration, and samatha meditation. So it can overcome or remove hindrances and mental defilements. To make this momentary concentration deepening, what we need is to have continuous mindfulness, observing whatever arises in our body, mind as it is. When mindfulness becomes continuous, concentration also becomes continuous and constant. Then this concentration has a great deal of strength to expel or to overcome, to remove five kinds of hindrances and 10 kinds of mental defilements. So this concentration is also one of the eight mental factors, mental faculties. Then, when the mind is well concentrated on any mental state or physical process, there arises insight, the intuitive insight into any mental states or physical process which is observed, and realizes it in its true nature. This is vipassana jnana, we call it, insight knowledge. This insight is called panya, lokiya panya. It's one of a mental, one of a five mental faculties, panya. But panya has, say, two types. One is the insight knowledge that realizes impermanent suffering, impersonal nature of mental and physical phenomena. It's called Vipassana Panya. When we have completely attained all the stages of insight knowledge, realizing any mental states or physical process more and more clearly, then we come to attain to enlightenment, Maggajnana, path knowledge, and Phalajnana, fruition knowledge. These enlightenments are also called Panya, Lokuttara Panya. Lokiya Panya is translated into mundane wisdom or mundane Panya. Lokuttara Panya is translated into supramundane Panya, supramundane wisdom. So Lokiya Panya, Vipassana Panya, inside knowledge, realizes the specific characteristics of phenomena and general characteristic of phenomena. Every mental state and physical process has its own specific characteristics. And they have general characteristics, three kinds of general characteristics which are in common with all mental states and physical processes. So the Lokiya Panya, supramundane wisdom or insight knowledge, realizes both specific characteristics and general characteristics of mental and physical phenomena. But Lokuttara Panya, supramundane wisdom, enlightenment, realizes the Four Noble Truths, the truth of suffering, the truth of the cause of suffering, the truth of the cessation of suffering, the truth of the way leading to the cessation of suffering. Both mundane wisdom and supramundane wisdom, or insight, knowledge, and enlightenment, are mental, five mental faculties. These twin penetrating knowledge are called Panya, one of the five mental faculties. So meditator must be endowed with these five mental faculties. In other words, these five mental faculties are the properties of a meditator. Each and every mental faculties should be sharp and powerful. Confidence, saddha, is the basic requirement. Unless a saddha, confidence or faith in the technique of Vipassana meditation, meditator won't put enough effort in the practice. Only saddha, confidence, is strong enough. He put strenuous effort in the practice. But sometimes when meditator has experienced some stages of insight knowledge, then he is happy. He has a great deal of pleasure. At that moment, some meditators have a great deal of confidence in the teaching of the Buddha through his own personal experience. Then he has to think about his friends, his relatives, his parents, sons and daughters. He would like all of these people to experience this Dharma through their own personal experience. Then he comes to think about how can persuade them to practice this meditation. How can they have opportunity to get this meditation, to experience the Dharma, to enjoy the Dharma. In this way, because of a strong saddha, if he thinks about the welfare of the people concerned, then his concentration is broken. What should he do? Should he reduce his confidence or saddha? No, he can't, because his saddha arises not by learning or not by listening to Dhamma, but by his personal experience of meditation. So he can reduce his saddha. Then what should he do? It's easy, not very difficult. But sometimes meditators forget this technique. As you know, the principle of Vipassana meditation is to be mindful of whatever arises in your mind and body as it really occurs. So when any thought comes up, You observe it, thinking. When you have any desire to help your friends experience this Dhamma, that desire must be noted as desire, until the desire has disappeared. Sometimes some of a meditator feel sad about their departed parents. My parents did not practice this meditation and did not realize the Dhamma, did not experience such things. In this way, he may cry over the death of his parents. There also, he should observe thinking. If he feels sad, until the sadness has disappeared. Meditation, either Samatha meditation or Vipassana meditation, is mental training, mental culture, mental development, or the work of the mind. The work of the mind, to note, to observe the mind is much more important than any other things. So whatever mind or mental state arises, whatever emotional state arises, meditator must observe it attentively, energetically, somewhat quickly. Then that mental state will pass away. As I told you, when the sadness arises, sadness must be observed. As sad, noting it as sad. Without noting or labeling, being aware of the feeling of sadness is not enough, because it's very light and superficial. It's not deep enough. The noting and the labeling helps the mind to focus the feeling of sadness more precisely. Then he comes to realize that sadness is nothing but a mental state. Then sadness has passed away. In this way, whatever mental states or emotional states may be must be observed without failure. When he thinks about his friends or his parent, he must observe it. If he is about to cry over the death of her parents, note crying, until the feeling has disappeared. After it disappears, he should return to the primary object, that's the rising, falling movement of the abdomen. Sometimes a meditator may feel lazy or reluctant to practice. That laziness and reluctantness must be observed as it is. It must be mindful of attentively and precisely as it really occurs. Then that laziness will go away. If he does not observe the laziness becomes stronger and stronger. Then he doesn't want to continue his practice. At that moment, his concentration is broken. There's no mindfulness at all. Then he is not a yogi. Yogi or meditator is all the time mindful of all actions and movements, all mental states and physical process. Only the mindfulness makes a person a yogi. If there's no mindfulness, he is no yogi. At the moment, a meditator misses the mindfulness, then he has no mindfulness at all. At that time, he is not yogi. It can be said that yogi is dead. Yes, the yogi is dead, though he is walking. Why? The life of a yogi is mindfulness. Mindfulness is the life of a yogi. If there's no mindfulness, there's no life in him. Then he's dead, though he's walking, or though he's eating his lunch or breakfast. If he is not mindful of anything, then he's dead. Then we saw the dead person eating at the breakfast table. Not the dead person, the dead yogi. So meditator must be mindful of all the time any mental state which is arising at that moment, any physical process which is arising at that moment. From moment to moment, he must be mindful of any mental state or physical process as it really occurs. In this way, his mindfulness becomes continuous and constant. Then for the whole day, he doesn't die. He's all the time alive with mindfulness. So this mindfulness is mental work, mental training, mental culture. It's very, very much important. And also it has unbelievable power to change personality, to change mental attitude, to change disposition. As a meditator experiences, as meditator have higher and higher experiences in meditation, then his mind changes into better and better, yes, better for better experience. With the mind changed and with the experience changed, the attitude and the disposition also changed for betterment. So this mindfulness, sati, one of the five mental faculties, cannot be said to exceed. But that sadha, as I told you, confidence and the teaching sometimes may be too strong so that meditators has no mindfulness at all and thinks about something else. But at that time, sadha cannot be reduced, but sadha should be kept in balance with panya, wisdom. Here wisdom is both inside knowledge and knowledge of theoretical knowledge of Dhamma. If I have too much confidence, I'll be go astray. So I should not have too much sadha, confidence. This is not the time for me to enjoy this sadha or to indulge in this sadha. What I should do is to continue to be mindful of whatever arises and body and mind. Only this is the right way for me to make progress in my meditation. In this way, reflecting upon disadvantage of too much sadha and the benefit advantage of viriya, siddhi, samadhi, we can keep sadha in balance with panya, and we can check sadha. Then we are able to go with our meditation, concentrate and well on the object of meditation, whatever arises. In this way, sadha should be kept in balance. Though sadha is necessary to be firm and strong enough, but it must not be too much. In the same way, viriya, energy or effort, is needed to be strong enough, strenuous enough. But sometimes viriya may be too much, too strong or stronger than concentration. It's also not the desirable thing. Viriya, energy, must be kept in concentration, in balance. When meditators has too much sadha, he put too much effort in the practice. He doesn't want to even sleep at night. He wants to continue his practice for the whole night and the whole day. In this way, he may have too much effort or energy. Then he can't concentrate well on his meditation. It's the object of meditation. He can concentrate well because of too much effort, he becomes restless. When he becomes restless, his mind is not well concentrated on the object of meditation. But there are, but it's very rare to find such a meditator with too much effort. Yes. So we should not worry about it. We should not worry about it. Only what we have to do is to push meditation, push all the time, to be aware of all daily activities more and more detailed, to note or to observe any mental state which is wandering or thinking, imagining, and so on. Sometimes the meditator is lazy, though he has thoughts and also he is realize it, but he is lazy to note it. Then he doesn't note, thinking, wondering, just see it, look at it as it is. Then the mind goes out, keeps going on very, very long, say, two minds or three minds and so on. That laziness must be noted. Laziness or any mental state, good or bad, when it's noted, it's going. But the noting should be attentive and precise enough. Yes, when the meditator has too much effort or too strong effort, sometimes we have to instruct him to note few objects, not many objects. If he is observed, say, rising, falling, sitting, touching four objects, he has to note only two objects, rising, falling, calmly, steadily. And in the walking too, when he observes, say, the six or the seven parts of the step, he has to reduce to three or two parts, say, lifting, pushing, dropping, or left and right. Some meditators, with too much effort, becomes restless. Then he can't stay in a place far from his mind is from the concentration. Such a meditator, we have to instruct them to stop practice meditation and to do some works, some cleaning works or any other works. But as I told you, it's very rare to find such a meditator, so we need not worry about it. Sometimes the concentration is too deep. Though meditator, his mind is concentrated very well, he feels happy, peaceful, but he doesn't realize anything. There's two reasons. One reason is he is pleased with his concentration. He has no desire or no tendency to realize any mental state or physical process. That tendency to enjoy the deep concentration is one of the reasons why he cannot realize any mental states or physical process. But the other reason is because the mind is very deeply concentrated into an object of meditation, it's unable to realize any mental states or physical process. Sometimes too deep concentration makes the mind the very awkward position. When meditators has a tendency to believe in superstition, such as a ghost or yaka or any other undesirable invisible things, if he believes and takes interest in it, that deep concentration create these things because of his tendency, then he may be afraid of these things. So sometimes, but it's also very rare. What's happened is when the concentration is too deep, meditator's effort becomes weaker and weaker. Because though he doesn't put effort in the noting, the concentration, the mind is concentrated very well. So gradually his effort becomes weaker and weaker. Later on, the effort is very, very weak. When the effort or energy is weak, the mind can't be concentrated well on the object. So it gets into sleepiness, sloth and torpor. Because of the lack of effort, the concentrated mind becomes sluggish and heavy. Then it changes into sleepiness and sloth and torpor. Then in this case, meditator has to put more effort in the practice, note more and more objects so that his mind becomes alert, more active and alert. In this way, too much concentration should be kept in balance with the effort. But this correction of the five mental faculties in a meditator is done by his teacher. If the meditator is not skilled in correcting his five mental faculties or keeping it in balance, the teacher knows this meditator has too much satta or too much wisdom, or this meditator has too much concentration or too much effort and so on. Then the teacher can correct him, making him keep balance and the balance his five mental faculties in balance. So the most important thing is to have a firm and strong confidence in the teaching of the Buddha and the technique of meditation, and to have a constant and continuous mindfulness for the whole day. May all of you rightly understand these five mental faculties and strive your best to be mindful of every mental state or physical process without failure, as long as you are awake, and attain the cessation of suffering, Nibbana.